Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our gospel reading, Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. Well, a number of years ago, our oldest son took us to a city park. Now, in the middle of this city park that we went to was a restaurant. Now, this restaurant was different from most restaurants that you go to, because when you got there, everything was outside. Okay, now they did have a place, you know, lots of picnic tables and all that kind of thing for you to sit down. And if it was raining, well, they had this big giant tent that you could be in. But one of the things that was unique and different about this place was that, well, again, they grilled their food there. Well, that's not necessarily such a big deal. You know, when you walk into this all-you-can-eat place, you walk by the salad bar, you know, they got all the fixings that are over there. And then they had this little shack. This little shack is where they had the desserts. Cake inside. You know, you go pick out whatever kind of cake you want. And then they had over on the other side over here, this is where you could go get your sodas and drinks and that kind of thing. And like I say, when you went up to this place there to get your food, again, part of what was unique there about it was is that, well, they all you could eat grilled salmon. All you could eat crab legs. All you could eat prime rib. All you could eat fried haddock. See, the company that owned this was one of the companies from that show Dangerous Catch, you know, up there in Alaska there, where they go out there on the big boats there and catch all the fish and crab and all that kind of stuff. And this is one way that they would get rid of all their food. They're selling us at this all-you-could-eat place. Now, a little bit hungry this morning, and I'm thinking about this. My mouth's watering already thinking about this place. So every time that we went up there to go see him, okay, he's in Fairbanks, Alaska is where he lived. As they had three restaurants in the state, one in Anchorage, one in Fairbanks, and somewhere else in Alaska. Well, we'd always make sure that we're going to go to this place at least one time, because, I mean, it's just amazing when you have all that kind of food there. Now, imagine, if you will, that was free. How often would you go back? Okay? Probably go back every day, right? You throw caution to the wind, and you just go there and eat your fill. Now, after a bit, I'm sure that those clothes would get a little tight, you know, after going there, free meal, night after night after night. But then again, it's like you wouldn't worry about it. You know why? Because you're thinking about all the money that you're saving there by not having a bigger food bill there that, well, you just, you know, go out and buy bigger clothes. Well, now you're getting an idea about the people in our gospel lesson for this morning. Okay? They're thinking about food. Now, here this passage here this morning, got to recall, this is right after the feeding of the 5,000. So they got all this bread and all the fish that they could eat. Remember it said that they all ate and were satisfied. That means that they were full, okay? No hunger there. So they were ready to take naps at the end of the day there. So they had seen Jesus, you know, send the disciples off, and then he dismissed the crowd and everything like that. And the next morning, they wake up and they're like, hey, let's go get some more free food. That's what they wanted. And then they go searching around for Jesus. And it's like, well, hey, the disciples left and he was still here. It's like, where is he? Well, some more boats show up there. And so they decide that they're going to get in those boats and they're going to go to Capernaum to the other side. And they're seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? And Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you're not seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him God the Father has set his seal. Funny when they ask, you know, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus didn't respond this way. He's like, well, I took a stroll across the lake. Right? Because this is the same incident, too, here, when he walked across the water there, right? All right? So he fed the 5,000, he walked across the water, got to the other side. We didn't say that, right? That'd be lots of extra explaining to do, right? No, you know, they're looking for a big old sign here, as if feeding of the 5,000 is not a big enough sign there, if the 5 loaves and 2 bread were not enough. Here, these people, though, they were over there just wanting to come to Jesus and say, feed me some more. Again, people really haven't changed a whole lot over the years. You can go back to our Old Testament lesson there, okay? Moses, Moses and the people, they were having a food problem too. People were grumbling. Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. And how did God reply? He said, behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you. And in the evening, quail came up and covered the camp. Meat and manna, fish and bread, it's the same thing, okay? God was right there in their presence. And what did they think? No, they're not worried too much about God. They're working more concerned about the short-term issues there. It's like their hunger, their lack of food, or the fact that they got lots of food and want more. Now, granted, food is important, okay? You don't eat enough, you start to get weak and all that kind of stuff, all right? But are we giving God credit, enough credit for providing it? We should be. Go back to Psalm 145. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. Well, the people's desire, even with Jesus standing right there in front of them, the creator of the universe, the forgiver of sins, the people, what was their desire? Give me another Happy Meal. Well, just as the days of old, Jesus had to redirect their attention there. Sometimes we need that as well, right? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you were seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life. The Son of Man will give to you. For on him, God the Father has set his seal. All right. How often does this happen? Jesus here, taking our focus off the short term, directing it to the long term. He says, seek the food that endures to eternal life that the Son of Man will give to you. God the Father sent him for this very reason. Okay? When your attention has been so focused on the short term, help is needed to focus on the long term. How does that work itself out? Well, they said to Jesus then at that point in time, what must we do to be doing the works of God? And Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. You see, to focus on the long term, Jesus says, believe in me. That's it. Think about that. What do you get? You get everything. You get forgiveness of sins. You get heaven, everlasting life. There's going to be a great feast there in heaven with the choicest of wines and the finest of meats. That's going to happen there. You will never, ever run out of things to eat. Best part is, when you're in heaven, calories don't count. All right? Think about that. All right? You're going to get everything you need. You're going to be healthy as ever. And there you are. But the key to getting into that banquet there in the future is believing in Jesus now. We get that. But yet, it's those short-term things that get in the way. We want proof from God that what he says will happen. What sign will you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Why are they there? He fed them with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. They don't get it. Sometimes we don't get the signs either. Okay, we grumble about it. Jesus isn't here. We haven't seen him, all right? That's a problem. We don't have that miraculous food there like they did way back in the day. We don't get that either. We don't get it because we're not giving God credit for what he's already providing us in the first place. Not too long ago, I read an article about how ridiculous the grocery store competition is. Okay? Particularly when you're talking about organic food. So you start thinking about Whole Foods, right? Whole Foods grocery store chain. They're the ones who started out selling what? Organic food. Seems that lots of people like organic food, right? Organic food, no pesticides, all that kind of stuff, right? Stick it in the ground, grows, that's what you want to eat, okay? I get that. So do the other grocery store chains. They got it too. And it's like, well, these people are going to Whole Foods there to buy it, paying a whole lot more money for it too. Well, maybe we should start doing it too. So now major grocery store chains across the country are even doing this. Got so popular, you could go to the gas station and get fresh, organic food. Think about that. When I was growing up, the only thing you got at the gas station, well, gas, naturally, were cigarettes and chewing gum. Now you can go there and get a fresh salad. Wow. All right. So what happened to Whole Foods then? Well, their stock prices started going down because they had to cut their prices there because of competition. And so now as their stock price started going down, Amazon thought, ooh, here's a bargain here, and Amazon gobbled them up. And so there you are. What's that problem? The problem is organic food is now everywhere. It's horrible. Food sold everywhere. Isn't that terrible? Golly. Food so available, and because of its abundance, we fail to give God credit for providing it. He's been giving us our daily bread all along. Think about it. He has all along. We've had plenty to eat. And what is daily bread? Well, Martin Luther summed it up rather nicely. Daily bread includes everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, a devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. You see, God has covered our short-term needs. Therefore, we need to focus on the long-term like Jesus wants us to. And the long-term is this, believing in Jesus' death and resurrection for you. Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Feast on this bread of life. You don't have to go to Alaska to get that. You can believe in Jesus right here in New York. All right? It's that easy. And when you do, you will be satisfied unto life everlasting. That's what God the Father has given to us through Jesus Christ our Lord, the bread of life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.